Last spring, we ended for a time our study in the book of Acts. We said we were going to hit the pause button. We went into a few other things and then our summer series. And today we move back into the book of Acts and continue our journey through this great book of Holy Spirit encounter. Amen? And I find some things dovetailing together as we pick up again. One, as we were in Kenya for these weeks, and some of you would say, yes, this is true for me and some of the emphasis in my preaching, but it's multiplied over there. God birthed my heart for the Antioch Church in the time we were pastoring in Kenya. Some of our vision statement there included that we would be an Antioch church, and that's some of what we have adopted here, and it's part of our vision statement. As you would go through our growth track and you hear some of the story, we want to be an Antioch church. So as I was back there, we spent some time in the Antioch church in different ways and through the passages that are found here in Acts 11 and 13, preaching it, teaching, reminding, and celebrating what God has done through the last 10 years of vision fulfillment. So we've been in the Antioch church. And then I also realize as we step back into this study, this is right where we left off. A few months ago when we hit the pause button, we were in Acts 12 and we looked at that great story, and that was our text. Then our text today is in 11 and 13, but we left off right in the midst of this description of the birth of the Antioch church. So I knew as I was there and thinking and praying and preparing for coming home that I would be speaking on this very theme again. But then I listened to Jeff's message, and I mentioned that already, that Jeff, without me soliciting him, I said, preach whatever's on your heart, whatever God puts on your heart. And Jeff ended up preaching the Antioch church. So three things that are coming together and dovetailing as we pick up our study to just stop here long enough to talk about church, to talk about us, to talk about how we can get from here to there, that we could be a church like this church at Antioch. Letting it speak to our hearts, letting this text speak to us and what God would say to us. And a picture paints a thousand words. You've heard that before. Let's let the picture of Acts 13. I will hold on reading the Acts 11 passage this morning. We're not going to leave it off. We'll touch it again next week, but just for time and focus for these moments this morning, I bring us to Acts 13. I want this picture to be embedded, not just in our mind, but in our spirit. If I could give us just one picture of what the New Testament church should look like as we come together, as we gather. There's a lot, and much of the rest of the book of Acts is the sending out and the going and what we're doing as we're out there. But as we gather, what does it look like? Why do we do this? What happens when we come together? I could come to these three verses in Acts 13, the Antioch church, and say, yes, this is what God wants to do when we gather. This is the what, it's the how, it's the why, it's all of those things right here. And so I read again, as Jeff read last week, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Holy Spirit, I pray today that this would not just be a description of a church a few thousand years ago. But Lord, as we come around this text again, and we pick up in this study of the book of Acts, and we look forward to the pursuing chapters and the story that unfolds and the missionary trips and the healings and the miracles and the salvations. Lord, I pray that we would capture what it's all about, what you want to do when we come together, when we gather, what you want to do in this church. Lord, get us from here to there. Get us connected. Have your way in this house. Amen. Amen. Some months ago, and I lose track, and I'm not always on social media. In fact, very, very seldom. You know that I tend to not go there. But I know there was a craze. Some showed me, or I saw some of the videos. They told me about it. But just kind of what these video clips, all different scenes and settings, people joining in their own way, in their circles of relationships. But these video clips of freeze frame. Everybody, as the camera spanned, everybody was frozen in whatever way. They just, the pause position. And the camera would scan, and they'd put that on social media, and it happened in churches, in public settings, in offices, in homes, families, friends, whatever. If we could just freeze frame the Antioch church right here for a moment. They're in the midst of a prayer meeting. They're in the midst of a worship service. But if as that was happening and we could picture the scene and then just hit the pause button, the freeze frame, and we scan just so we can talk about it for a few moments. Just so we can say, this was real life. It was happening in time. There was no pause button hit. This was a worship service, a prayer meeting, an anointing service, all of that stuff in one. But let's just talk about it for a few minutes, because it has everything to do with the future of the church and the rest of the book of Acts, and really much of the New Testament that we have written here, the churches that are birthed out of this prayer meeting as time would unfold over the next several years, and then letters would be written to those churches, and leaders would be put in place, and life would go on, and the church would multiply. But it was right here in Acts 13, right in these few verses, as God's plan unfolds, where that happened. And so we see God showing up. We see the presence of God. We see God in the house right here in Acts 13. And somehow for me today, and I trust this is not just kind of church stuff and, oh, Chip, you need to talk about this once in a while. I want this to be a picture that gets so embedded in our hearts that we won't settle for anything less than the church that God wants us to be. That the life of the Spirit, the life of the church, what God wants to do is in us. It creates something in us that says, I want to be a part of that. Think about this morning. Why did you come to church today? Why did you come today? What did you expect as you came? Did you come because you've been doing it for so long that if you didn't do it, you feel like you broke your routine? Or did you come just because that's a good thing to do, or I want to see a few people, or it's just, it's right. God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why did you come today? I want you to just think about that. One thing I know, God calls us to be a people that gather. God calls us to come together. God wants there to be something that happens. His very presence showing up, Him making Himself known, Him right while we gather. We know that God is in the house and stuff happens when we come together. And I challenge us with a fresh spirit of expectancy, of anticipation, of want to say, I want to be there when we come together. I want to be there on Sunday morning. because who knows what God will do, and I need to be there because I get to talk to God, and I get to be with other believers, and who knows if God would have me minister to them or them minister to me. May there be something in us that says, wow, I just can't wait to get there. And I want to just I encourage you to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart in that. Let's push beyond the mundane or the norm or the low level of expectancy or the routine. Let's believe God wants to do something when we come together. And the Antioch church was a church on fire. If we read the Acts 11 description leading up to this text, there's great description that God was in the house. In fact, when Barnabas showed up, he saw the presence of God. He saw the blessing of God. He saw the evidence of God moving in their midst. And there was increase in salvation and prophetic words and generous offering and life being lived and people being taught. And the first Christian, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch because the community saw something different. All of that's happening. But this is just a window into one of their gatherings. I think they were like this often, but we hear this one because it really is the revelation that leads to the rest of the book. They didn't just do this once. This is their lifestyle. They were coming together. And I want you to note, and Jeff did a great job. If you weren't here like we weren't last week, we jumped online and got the message, but encourage you to listen in to just kind of fuel this understanding and excitement for the Antioch church. Jeff pointed these things out, but I can't just cross over them without mentioning. There was the work of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry in the church at Antioch. It says there were prophets and teachers. But I can add, if we say pastor teacher, we know that those gifts were there. The pastor teacher was there. Right here, it says Lucius of Cyrene. Maybe he's one of those original people mentioned in Acts 11 when it says some men from Cyprus and Cyrene. We don't have a name, but they went to Antioch and they preached, they evangelized to the Greeks also. So we could see that somehow the gift of the evangelist is here in their leadership team because great numbers were coming to faith. And then the apostle, Paul, who we come to know as the apostle, is the apostle in training. But Paul is listed here as Saul. He's one of the leaders of the church, and that gift is being nurtured in him. And so just with a little bit of reading between the lines, we see that there were the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. They were there, and they were leading a church as a team with the gifts of the Spirit being in operation. But then I love the description of these five men as well because it speaks of the diversity, the multi-ethnicity of that gathering. They came together under the name of Jesus, different languages coming together and being a people together and learning to love each other and work together. So they're in this meeting. And they're the leadership. Others, I'm sure, were there. This was one of the Antioch church gatherings. And as they're together, here's what it says in verse 2. While they were worshiping. While they were worshiping. Another translation says, while they were ministering to the Lord. That's what worship is. It's ministering to the Lord. We had opportunity and we participated in that earlier in this service. It's not something that only happens in the corporate gathering, but when we come together, when we gather, as we worship, I want you to see some ingredients here of what happens when God is in the house, when God is working, when God shows up. It's this freeze frame. Remember, we've frozen the frame and we're just gleaning understanding and insight as we look into this picture of the Antioch church. And that first ingredient, while they we're worshiping. I believe this whole picture is the climax. It's the key to what made this church thrive. And worship was a first priority of that. When they came together, they worshiped. When they came together, they ministered to the Lord. When they came together, it was in that place of worship that God could do something, that God could reveal himself, that God came and just settled in their midst. We've been talking a lot about the presence of God, and we understand that, and I just remind you of this, that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So God is everywhere. So what does it mean that when they gathered, something happened? Well, God, in a special way, as we gather, he says, I'm going to be in your midst. I'm there where two or three gather in my name. There I am. The manifest presence of God, as we expect it, as we pray into it, as we believe for God to be in the house, as we prepare a place for him. Through worship, just ministering to him, he comes and reveals himself. He manifests himself in our midst. Worship is ministering to the Lord. While they were worshiping, something happened, but they were worshiping. Church, can I encourage us today? We often call a Sunday morning service a worship service. And yet we approach Sunday morning, especially in our consumer mentality of America, that, hey, what's in it for me? What am I going to get? Is it going to be the list of songs? Are they going to be the ones I want? Or is the message going to be what I need today? What am I going to get today? There's nothing wrong with that, but I can definitely tell you it's out of priority if that's why we came to church today. Because we come together to worship. We come together to minister to the Lord, to give our full attention to him, to leave other things at the door, to just come. We have the privilege of corporately gathering to worship our Lord and Savior, not just in song, but from the depths of our heart. To offer worship. And there's something that happens when we do that. I've been thinking about this and praying about it, and I'm making a new step today. And you're the first ones that are going to hear it. Because God's been working on my heart in this area of worship. For my years as your pastor, every time I talk about worship, I kind of just step back and say, I know it's for those people that lead us, and I'm not a worship leader. I don't have the voice. I don't have the gift. So when there's music led from the front or worship led, you don't find me on a mic. And I use that oftentimes to kind of just step back and say, so I give that responsibility to others. And even as I talk about my own marriage, I'm married to a Mary. A worshiper. Cindy is just naturally, she can just sit at the feet of Jesus. That's her favorite time of the day, and it just, it's natural for her. My type A personality, I've used sometimes as an excuse or just said, I'm not naturally a worshiper. You've heard me say some of these things. But the Holy Spirit has convicted me. I'm a worshiper. I was created to worship. You were created to worship. Every one of us are doing what we were made to do when we worship. And the devil himself wants us to think like I have struggled at times and said, well, that's not my gift, or that's not my place, or that's not my leadership. But I'm telling you today, church, we must be a house of worshipers. Every one of us, no excuse. You don't try out and see how good your voice is and then, yeah, you're over here with the worshipers and the rest of, no, there's no division. God just wants to hear the cry of our heart. He wants to hear the song from our lips. He wants worshipers. Jesus, when he encountered the woman at the well, what was his teaching? He said, he's looking for worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth, worshipers. And God's been working on my worship. And I want the worship in me to be released in greater measure. I want the worship in this house to be released in greater measure. As I've heard, I didn't get to hear all of it around that, but this is a truth, and it's a word for us as a people. If we're going to be the church God's destined us to be, if we're going to be an Antioch church, if we're going to slip into the snapshot of this picture, we aren't here to be spectators. We are here to be worshipers, to have freedom in worship. Some of why you see what we do, with whether it's the flags, with that, just the heart to let that be an expression of worship, or the shouts that you hear, or the raising of our voice, or sometimes people coming to the front. May there be just a freedom. God will keep us together, and everything's done decently in order, but sometimes we want to be so decently and in order that there's no expression that can be released. And it's not all about the outward, but the outward sometimes ignites the inward. We do things, we participate, and it brings our soul in line with what God wants to do. And we need to be worshipers while they were worshiping. Worship is a place of rest. Worship is a place where we can step out of the busyness of life and we focus on who God is. And we give him his due, both with our lips and our heart. We worship, worship. We give him, we declare his worthiness. And as we do that, something happens. Can I tell you a secret? It's not really a secret. It's a truth of God's, the way he works. But the truth is, God would rather you come as we gather, or even as you enter your prayer closet, God would rather you worship than you bring your list. You know, here's the secret. God works in worship. It's like he just knows us anyway. He knows our stuff. He knows what we need. And there's something that happens when we just worship. And when we worship, even before we would share our needs, or even if we never do, there is something that happens even here while they were worshiping. They were just doing what they wanted to do. They wanted to lift the name of Jesus. And he descended. He came close and he spoke by his spirit. But that was birthed out of worship. IJ this morning, even as the team was leading us, prayed or mentioned that even as we're worshiping, may there be healing in this house. May there be freedom that comes to hearts. May God touch need. Not that we focused on that this morning. We didn't call things out or lay hands on anyone. And we do that from time to time. And we want, that's all okay. But it's in the place of worship that God can just do his stuff. And I invite us, as we take our eyes off of ourselves, and we just say, God, I worship you. I love you. I adore you. You are alone. God, you are supreme. You're the all in all. When we move our hearts from ourself and our need and our burden and our concern and our fear even, there's something that can happen. You can be in the presence of God just in that place of worship, and you didn't even think about it, but you walk out, or out of your prayer closet. It can happen when you're alone. It happens when we get. But you can walk out, and all of a sudden, your heart is lighter. You might have been full of fear on a situation. And now there is hope. There is faith. There is a sense of God is in this. It's because you are here. You are there. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. We find in his presence all kinds of pleasures. And so may we see that place of worship. I'm reading a book. I'm just on the front end of it. Worship the King. And there's a portion in there that is challenging. But you know, the reason we come together isn't even to hear the word preached. If we had to set one priority of why we come together, it's to worship. I believe our theology would be clearer. Our spirit would be more fed. We would be better taught. But in our system, in our Western thinking, and it was birthed hundreds of years ago, it's kind of how we do church. We have rows, and we have somebody up front speaking, and we have people leading, and we can get into this spectator or laity clergy mentality. That's not how God ordained it. He brings us together, and we're all on the same level, and we're all here for the same reason, and we're all opening our hearts, and it's not Chip that has to bring the word, or I'm here as a leader, but I'm here to facilitate the work. We want the work of the Spirit to be primary. That's what God wants. And if we do nothing else but worship, it would be the reason we came. Amen. While they were worshiping. Can I encourage you today, from one that is no more, am I saying I'm not a worshiper or even a worship leader, one that is doing this myself in a fresh way, I want God to just cultivate my heart of worship. It's been happening. There's something God's doing, and even our times as a team, we've talked about the presence of God over the summer. Church, if we don't desire and believe and encounter the presence of God, then we're just doing religion. Amen. We need the presence. Our God is a living God. Yeah. He's not dead. Right. He's not a statue. He's not an idol. He's not something. God is living. And if he's living, then he lives in our hearts. He lives in our gathering. Our worship is to show that. And so I invite us today to cultivate that place of worship. I believe for many of you, you don't need 3 steps to a better marriage. You don't need 5 steps to get out of depression. You don't need another checklist of how to. We have so many how-to lists online, it can make our heads spin. And I'm not saying those aren't helpful, but I'm telling you, if they push aside the presence of God and they distract us and we aren't in the place of worship, it's in worship that healing comes. It's in the worship that fullness of joy comes. And it can be, you can be in a place worshiping and you aren't even saying anything. You're just there in the presence of God. And in your heart and your mind, you're focusing on him and you're letting him work in you. While we're worshiping, God works. Can we trust that? Can we invite that? Can we cultivate that? Let's be a church of worshipers. And some of you today, that's what you need to just take home with you. I've enjoyed my jet lag. Cindy's adjusted well because she's so much younger. I've told you that. I guess it works differently as you get older. And the first night I fell asleep at like 4:30. We got home at 3. I thought I was going to take a power nap. Fell asleep at 4:30. Woke up at 11. I was up till from 11 to 5. Then since then, 2:30. I'm just awake. This morning I've been up. But you know what? I like the jet lag because it's quiet and it's dark and I can just worship. And I've just let that be a time. And just let God work in my heart. And we can do that together when we come together as church, as family. Just, that's what we do while we're worshiping. 2 other things I'm just going to mention, and we'll pick them up in the next few weeks. But what's the ingredients of the presence of God, of God being in the house? Worship while they're worshiping. Then it says, and fasting. And then at the end of verse 4, it says, while they were fasting and praying, or after they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands. A second part of this place of the presence of God. It's worship, it's prayer, and fasting. What does fasting represent? It represents a heartfelt desire to go after God. Fasting represents hunger, not hunger for food because you're giving up food. That's what fasting is. But it's a spiritual hunger to go after God. And whether it's a meal or a day or a few days, whenever you fast, all you're doing is creating more time to pray and worship. And it says, while they were praying and fasting, so they were worshiping, they were praying and fasting, preparing themselves, giving extra time. And may God help us to be that. If we're going to be an Antioch church, if we just take this snapshot, we're going to be worshipers. We're going to be found praying and fasting. We're going to want the presence of the living God to manifest himself in this house. And oh, what can happen when we pray to that end and believe to that end and fast? You say, God, we want more of you. I remind you that the book of Acts is full of prayer meetings. They prayed in Acts chapter 1. They were in the upper room praying, waiting. They were praying together in one accord. In Acts chapter 2, they were praying and the Holy Spirit fell, blew like a wind through the house, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues. It's while they were praying that the Holy Spirit showed up. In Acts 4, it says, in a prayer meeting, they prayed for God's help. They say, remove fear, give us a spirit of boldness. And then he shook the house they were praying in. In Acts 12, they were praying for Peter. And while they were praying, he was released from prison and he came and knocked on the door. It's in Acts 16, a prayer meeting, just Paul and Silas in chains, and they were praying and worshiping. They were singing hymns. And it was in a prayer meeting in prison when the earth shook and their shackles fell off and they were set free. It was a prayer meeting and a worship prayer meeting. Oh, if we could just freeze frame and say, God, let us peer into those times and meditate and pray and then just believe that right here for us. Church, may we be found praying together. If we're going to be in Antioch Church, as we worship, as we pray, the third element of the presence of God, the most powerful because it's what makes it all happen, the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit heals. The Holy Spirit breaks off shackles. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit works. That's what it says. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit said. We don't know how it happened. Very likely a prophetic word from one of those that were there. The Holy Spirit spoke through prophetically someone's mouth and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. Can I tell you that that prayer meeting is written here because that word from the Holy Spirit started the movement to the uttermost parts of the earth and it's still happening today. It was the Antioch church that launched the greatest mission movement that the world had ever seen before or since. Because they were worshiping, they were praying, and they were listening to the Holy Spirit. May we be a church, Acts 1:8. May we be a church that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on us, we will be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. May we as a church know the power of the Holy Spirit. May we know the presence of the Spirit. When he comes, he speaks. He is a wind that blows. He's a fire that's lit over our heads. There is understanding and revelation that comes when we have the Holy Spirit working in our midst. Holy Spirit is presence. And the church at Antioch, I don't know who the pastor was. You don't either. And as quick as they got a leader, they might have been sent on a missionary journey. Others stepped up. But can I tell you who the leader was of the Antioch church? The Holy Spirit. It was a Holy Spirit-led, a Holy Spirit-driven church. It was the Holy Spirit that did his work. The ingredients, the elements of presence, of God being in the house, is worship, prayer, with fasting. And the voice of the Holy Spirit being the voice that in every ear is tuned to. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you saying? We want to hear you. Can we be that kind of church? Father, I pray today that you would work in our hearts afresh. For whatever reason we would have given earlier, Lord, with why we came to church today, I pray that you would do your work in our hearts to shift our focus, to realign, at least in priority. Because all our reasons can be good for why we came. But Lord, I pray that more than anything else, there would be something in our hearts that would light a fire to say, may we come together to worship. May nothing take the place of that. May nothing be desired more. Lord, we want to worship you. We want to seek your face together. We want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We want our ear to be tuned to heaven. So, Lord, today, help us to be that kind of church. Put that hunger in our hearts. Have your way. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord.